Mary Magdalene, who was delivered from darkness. Mary Magdalene, who is the subject of our text on today, was believed to be a redeemed prostitute. But in Luke, that same person who appeared in Luke 7:36, who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried him with her hair, who anointed him with oil to show her gratitude and her love for him for forgiving her and others like her. This particular unnamed woman came to Jesus while he was dining at Simon's house, and her actions were met with disapproval. Simon, thinking to himself, if Jesus is who he say he is, a prophet, why doesn't he know that this woman is a sinner? And why is he allowing her to touch him? Now Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, on the other hand, questioned Jesus for allowing her to use this expensive oil, which could have been sold and given to the poor. So Jesus addressed both accusations. First to Simon, who had invited him into his house, but never offered him water to wash his feet, which was the custom of that time for an honored guest in your home. And to Judas, Jesus, knowing that he was not concerned about the poor, said, the poor you will have with you always, but me you will not have. Leave her alone, for she has saved this oil for my burial. Jesus took this as to be a teaching moment for what we all need to come to recognize. Those who have sinned, and everyone know about their sin, appreciate forgiveness. But those who have sinned and think no one knows, don't bother to praise God for his forgiveness. Now, there's no proof that this woman who had come was Mary Magdalene. In fact, the teachings, the theologian studies, prove that she probably was not, that she was not Mary Magdalene, who was known that this woman was a prostitute who came with the alabaster box of oil. But this story about Mary Magdalene came after this woman, as Jesus and his disciples were traveling from town to town proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. This happens to be leading into the introduction of Mary Magdalene into the text. It is in Luke 8:2 that says, some women were also traveling with Jesus and had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And Mary Magdalene was the woman who had seven demons. Mary Magdalene's name is mentioned 14 times throughout the gospel, even more than Mary, the mother of Jesus. I choose not to speculate. However, I want to point out that Jesus thought very highly of Mary Magdalene. Throughout the scripture, she is presented in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Some of you may or may not have heard about a book written by Dan Brown called The Da Vinci Code, which later became a movie with the same name that depicts Mary Magdalene as Jesus' wife and the mother of his child who continues the bloodline of the Messiah. The storyline that it is supposed to intrigue us in this movie is that the involvement of the Catholic Church and the length that the church goes to destroy any supporting evidence that prove this story to be true. Because the Bible is the word of God, and there is no such mention of this being remotely true, we are going to rely completely on the scripture for our understanding. The scripture reveals to us who Mary Magdalene was and how her story is an example for us to follow. It is not my intent today to try to tell it all, but to bring to the forefront how Mary Magdalene became a dedicated follower of Christ. Her life was filled with major struggles, trying to overcome Satan's attacks on her life. Most of us can relate to Mary Magdalene, knowing some of the struggles and the challenges we have. But the good news today is that the grace of God is sufficient. If we would believe and trust God, have faith in the one and only who can deliver us out of any of our situations. You see, the purpose in the teaching and preaching of the gospel message is to encourage us, to bring deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to set free those who are in bondage. You see, the stories and the parables we find in our scripture and the teachings is to share so that we would understand and have a reference point to draw from when we find ourselves hiding from our truth, when we find ourselves living in a dark place. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene was delivered of 7 demons. The King James translation called them devils. I thought perhaps it didn't really mean devils or demons, so I researched and found that it meant just what it said. She was possessed with demons. We don't talk about demon possession in the 21st century church. Perhaps we are too enlightened to think that Satan still controls people's lives today. Yet we see people all around us in bondage to illegal drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, sexual perversion, materialism, greed, selfishness, and let's not forget the lust of power. Satan manifests himself in these areas of people's lives. Satan is everywhere, leading people down the paths of sinful living, sinful attitudes, and sinful deeds. Satan has tricked the world so good that many people no longer even value human life. But Jesus said in John 8:34, everyone who sin is a slave to sin. But he follows up in verse 36 when he says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Some of us are willing to admit that we believe demons exist, while others will not. Now that I too wouldn't be inclined to speak about such things if the Bible didn't talk about it. I believe that we are now in a day when we can no longer pretend demons are fictional characters created by Hollywood to entertain us. There are so many hurting people all around us and in the world. We hear so much every day about such horrific and violent acts in our society. Yet we do not attribute any of this to the godlessness of our world. There are hideous acts of abuse against people, especially women and children. And we somehow accept it as an everyday occurrence. There are wars and rumors of wars, yet we sit back and think that it's just another day. The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We were advised by Paul in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the evil come, we may be able to stand our ground. The full armor of God comes from his word and by his spirit that stands with us and fights for us. Now, Mary Magdalene was not the only person in the Bible that speaks about demon possession. Pastor Jackson preached a couple of weeks ago about the Gerasene man who was so possessed that Jesus came along and called the demons out of him. When Jesus asked the demon, "What is your name?" he says, "Legion," meaning many. Now the demons believed in Jesus. Some of us don't believe. The demons even knew who Jesus was and begged him, "Do not make us go into the abyss." Jesus responding by sending the demons into a herd of swine, and they ran over the cliff and died. There are other stories of deliverance, but let us get back to Mary Magdalene, who was living in bondage, possessed by 7 demons, who had total control over her until Jesus came along and set her free. In my desire to bring clarity to the scripture, I had to dig deep. And some of what I found about Mary Magdalene is not being brought to, that she is not being brought to us as some great transgressor, nor is she the representative of the great sinner. She does, however, represent a person who for years lived with demonic bondage, who has caused her to be brokenhearted, depressed, extremely burdened and sad. She was miserable and unhappy in life in general. Distracting suspicions of people, hopelessness, and feelings of being in an impossible situation. You see, Mary Magdalene had to live with these struggles day in and day not and night until Jesus came along into her life and set her free. You might say, no one has all this going on, but I tell you, you'd be surprised. You see, people who commit suicide or attempt to commit suicide are struggling with some of these same problems. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene was possessed by 7 demons. 7 meaning the number of completion, meaning that she was completely possessed. She was unable to live a life of any kind. Her whole life was a constant struggle, fighting with strongholds that she was powerless to overtake. She had no joy, she had no peace. She had no hope, and she was miserable. But when Jesus came along, everything changed. For the first time in her life, for a very long time, she felt that life was worth living. She was no longer getting up every day just trying to make it through the day. You know, some people get up every day just trying to make it through another day. She was no longer an outcast among the people. You know how we get. Instead of praying for the person struggling, we get busy running them down. She was no longer felt hopelessness. Hope came walking through her village one fateful day and turned her life upside down. Everything that was in there that shouldn't have been in there, Jesus shook it and made it come out of her so that she was free to praise God. She was free to be free in Jesus. She felt revived, joyful, and full of purpose. Jesus presented to her and gave her a life of purpose. He gave her a praise. She was alive and free to make choices, and her choice was Jesus. Like Mary, all of us at one time or another has had to cope with one or more things that was challenging, these debilitating feelings of emotions that Mary Magdalene lived with until Jesus came into her life. Before Jesus came along and called her out of darkness to be his followers, we too were subject to Satan's possession. We may not have been possessed with seven demons, but we have all wrestled with something that only Jesus could fix. Like this woman with the issue of blood, I'm sure Mary Magdalene went to the doctors for help. She went to the priest. But there are some situations that only Jesus can take care of. There are some situations that only Jesus can deliver you out of. There are some situations that you got to bring before the master. You know, people can pray for you and they mean well. And they can pray and ask God, but it is the anointing power of Jesus that changes your situation. He's the one that brings you out when you are down. He's the one that lifts you up when you think you can't get up. He's the one that tells you, pull back that covers and get out of that bed. Put one foot in front of the other. I'm not through with you yet. Mary Magdalene was delivered out of darkness into the marvelous light of the glory of God found in Jesus Christ. We have all had our shares of disappointments, headaches and pains, hopelessness and being misunderstood. The list can go on and on, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now Mary Magdalene had been delivered and set free and became a dedicated servant and a follower of Jesus. She was a supporter and a living example of what the love and power of Jesus can do in one's life. As we look at Mary Magdalene and those other women, followers, we recognize that we have to acknowledge all that Jesus' followers, that they were the only ones that actually received the healing directly from Jesus. You see, the disciples walked with Jesus. They saw him delivering other people. They saw him healing other people. He even told them that some things you have to fast and pray about for God to break it. But these women, they actually received the healing for themselves. They had a testimony that God can do anything but fail. That I was down and out, but when Jesus came along, he turned my world around. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to make it from day to day. But when Jesus came along, he changed my whole situation. Has anybody in here ever been down and out? And Jesus came walking up into your life and changed your whole situation. He gave you hope when you felt hopeless. He healed you when you were sick, when you didn't know what to do with yourself. Jesus said, I got something for you to do. The Bible doesn't say that Mary Magdalene and the other women gave a public testimony. But I believe that they did it one-on-one or maybe even privately. Everyone who knew Mary Magdalene knew that she was possessed. I'm sure her family, her neighbors, and her community knew. What I found interesting was that in those days, rabbis and prophets didn't allow women to travel with them. But you see, Jesus was transformative, and he was a liberator. He didn't operate by gender. He operated by grace. I'm so glad I know Jesus today. I'm so glad that I can stand here and tell you that he is the living and true God, that there is nobody like him, that you can look high and you can look low, but there's nobody like King Jesus. Today, as I share with you, there's a couple of takeaways I want you to leave with today as the hour is being spent. First, Mary Magdalene is an example of how Satan can take over your life. You see, God don't want us to be deceived into believing that Satan is a cartoon character running around in a red suit with a pitchfork sticking you every now and then. As stated before, most of us choose not to believe that Satan is real. And if he is real, he's not interested in me. But that's the trick of the enemy, to keep us in bondage, to keep us in slavery to our problems and our situations, to keep us locked down with low self-esteem and discouraged while he's stealing our dreams. Jesus said in Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see, Jesus made this proclamation after having been in the desert for 40 days with no food and no water, while being tempted and harassed by Satan. Even Jesus, the Son of God, had to contend with Satan. The good news today is that Jesus contended with him so that we don't have to. Don't you fool yourself that Satan isn't all about trying to cause havoc in our lives, trying to destroy us, trying to discourage us. We think that because Hollywood portrayed this image, that's what we see. But that's not the Satan. Satan gets into our attitudes. He gets into our thinking. He gets into how we treat people. He gets into our tongues, and he causes us to act up and act out so that we be sinners before God. Secondly, Mary Magdalene is an example of divine grace. The Word of God is written by inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, and is given to us that we would know that Jesus is the way and the life, that anyone who comes to him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God also promised us in his Word that though we have trials and tribulations in this world, that he has overcome the world. The Word of God is living, and it's an incorruptible seed of healing and deliverance. Mary Magdalene received divine grace and was delivered out of her world of chaos. She was suffering greatly, but the grace of God, that unmerited favor of God, longing to give to us too that we might be free. We too might be set free if we surrender to Jesus and not to our circumstance. We can look at the circumstance and get overwhelmed and forget that we have a God who can do anything. We get caught up in the bills. We get caught up in the children acting up, in the husband and wife situation, in the friends that abuse us, in the friends that neglect us. And we forget that there is a God who's living, who's walking among us, who can do anything, who can straighten the situation out. Turn your head around and screw it on right if that's what we need. When life seems hopeless and we are in despair, the Word of the Lord is alive, and it sets us free from the strongholds of Satan. It causes us to face our situation for what it is. Sometimes you just got to admit, this is how it is. Freedom to acknowledge that we need help. Freedom to accept help when it's offered. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before the fall. Everyone will have troubles at one time or another, but we don't have to stay in trouble. The Word of God says that if anyone is sick among you, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of our Lord. But we run away from the church back into the world, which made us captives in the first place. So I say to you today, if your situation has shut you up and shut you down, know that they cannot shut God down or shut God out. That your extremities is God's opportunities to be of good cheer. That God's got it if you would just trust him to work it out. Y'all know that I believe that God can work some things out because I've seen what God has done. I know what he can do. He can work some stuff out that you can't even imagine. You couldn't even come up with that solution. But God opens up doors. He closes some doors. He sends some people away and he brings some people in. God knows how to fix it. Thirdly, Mary Magdalene, after being set free by Jesus, became one of the greatest followers and servants. She, along with the other women, were more than helpers. They were financial backers of Jesus' evangelistic ministry. Yes, I said greatest because Mary was devoted to Jesus and his ministry. Not only was her name mentioned over and over in the text, in all four Gospels, and even in the book of Acts, but 8 of the 14 times it appeared with the other women, except for that scene at the cross. Her name always led the list. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Who will be greatest among us when you come into your kingdom?" Jesus answered very clearly, "Those who are the least will be the greatest." You see, Mary Magdalene wasn't concerned about being the greatest. She was committed to the one who had healed her. In her devotion, others could not, they could see Jesus through her just by how she was serving him, just by how she was devoted unto him. Mary Magdalene never gave up on Jesus, the one who set her free. Others were healed, but they went back to their lives, but Mary stuck with Jesus. When God sets you free and you can't figure your way out because only God can do what God can do. When he has set us free, he's not calling us to be fanatical. He's calling us to be devoted. He's calling us to be servants. He's calling us to have grateful hearts and to seek him so that others might see him through us. There is so much more to this servant called Mary Magdalene. But for today, I close with this one last point. Mary Magdalene became an honored messenger of Christ to his disciples. You see, she was there at the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. She had the unique distinction of not only being the first to see Jesus after the resurrection, but also to be the first to spread the good news. He is risen. This is because of her devotion to the Master continued, even after he was falsely accused, brutally beaten, and shed blood for the sins of the world. She stood at the cross, where they hung him for our redemption. She heard him cry out in agony as they nailed him to the cross for our sins. She heard him yet praying for us, even when he was dying on the cross. She heard him promise a dying thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." She heard him make provisions for his sad and grieving mother. She stood with him because he stood with her. He battled Satan for her life and he won. He set her free in life that she might have life and have eternity. You see, he delivered her out of darkness. How many of us have been walking in darkness and Jesus walked into our lives and delivered us out of darkness? We might not have been at the cross ourselves, but we have heard Jesus' word. We know what Jesus can do in our lives. The point is not that we would be the first to see Christ after his resurrection, but that we might be the first to see him in our families, in our social circles, in our jobs, in our schools, in our gyms, and other places. When we have Christ and we show Christ, when we profess Christ, when we testify about Christ, others see Christ in us, that they might come to know that their situation is not hopeless, that they might be depressed, but God can bring them out of their depression. I'm so glad that we can see Jesus for ourselves, that we don't have to depend on somebody else to show us Jesus, but we can see him for ourselves. And I'm also glad that I can be proud of Jesus and what he is in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to say that one day I was broken and he fixed me. One day I was down and he picked me up. One day I was lost and he came and found me, cleaned me up and turned me around, that I might be a proclaimer of his word, that I might tell somebody about a God who can do anything but fail, that he's a healer.
He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's bridge over troubled water. Whatever you're going through, God's got it.
I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. I'm so glad today that God delivers us out of darkness. That even though Satan is walking around looking for how he might kill and destroy us, that the power of the living God is greater than any Satan that could ever walk this earth. All of his little demons and nymphs walking around causing confusion in the church. Every last one of them coming in and out trying to see whose mind they can twist today. But God, Satan, you are a liar. You are the son of the liars. Talking to Pastor, and he was saying that one of the teachings down at Lock Carry was that the church is dying. No, the church isn't dying because we're not dying. We are alive. The church might need some help to get back on track, but the church is not dying. I refuse to let it die. As long as I have breath in my body, the church shall live because there is a Jesus. There is a living God who died at Calvary for you and for me. I can't make it without it. I don't know about you, but every day that I put one foot on the floor, I say, thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for taking me on my way. The church shall not die because we are the church, and we shall not die. We shall proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shall sing his praises. We shall shout to the glory of God. We shall. This is no social club. This is the house of God. This is not where you came to get your hook up. This is the house of God. So what if you're a little bit miserable? God can fix it. Don't you give up on God. Your heart is broken. You're sad. You're grieving for your lost loved ones. But I want to tell you today that there is a God that's living. He's walking through here right now, looking and seeing who's got lifted up hearts towards him. I still got to praise. I've been through hell, but I still got to praise. The demons thought they had me, but Jesus says, not so. That I am your deliverer. I shall set you free. When you come in this house, you come in here with reverence. You come in here acknowledging that we serve the living and true God, that this is his house. We come to praise God. We came to lift up holy hands. We come to pray for one another. We come to thank God. We come to hear his word. We come to stand on the word of God that we might go out into a dying world and say, I'm not dying. I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Satan, get behind me. I put my foot on your neck right now. Don't you walk out here believing that the world has control over you. I appreciate what Deacon Robinson said, but when we were to get our heads together, if we were to come together as the people of God and stand up for what is right, if we were to pray to the living God and say, God, where are you in the midst of our situation? We know we haven't been all that we should have been. We know we haven't done all that you have called us to do. But God, we're standing here. We need you today, oh God. Our help cometh from, we look unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help cometh from the Lord. He is our shepherd who walks us beside the still waters. I know that he's alive. I know that it's true. He can deliver you from bad thinking. He can deliver you from depression. You see, he can deliver you from bad talking. Because you see, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Stop being suspicious of everybody. He can deliver you from misery and unhappiness. But before he can deliver you, you got to admit it. I am unhappy.
I don't know what's wrong with me. My peace is not here. Tell God. Admit it. You don't have to tell me, Deacon Robinson, or the diaconate. You don't have to tell Reverend Jackson. But go to the master and say, Lord, I'm unhappy. I don't know what to do. What is your plan for me, God? How are you going to straighten me out? Don't you go out here believing that you have to live with low self-esteem. Don't you go out here with your heart broken, knowing that God is a heart fixer. When we get in these situations, when we get in these mindsets, we start looking at our past failures, the ones that God already forgave us for. He said, I'll throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, that you shall not see them again. And because we're living in the past, we can't dream for our future. There are so many things that we could be doing, but we're so caught up in where we are right now. Forget about who wasn't your friend. Forget about who didn't do what they should have done. Yes, your mama may not have been there and your daddy too, but forget about and think of your Father Jesus, your Father God, who will do anything for you. Be delivered from those dark thinkings that we have. No, Satan is not running up and down this aisle in a red suit. He gets into your spirit through negative thoughts and negative talks and causes us to destroy each other. That is his job. That's why he's here. If he can divert your attention away from God, from the goodness of God, he's got you. And when he does that, it keeps us from serving God with our whole heart. And we get overtaken by Satan. As I take my seat and as we leave this place on today, I know Satan is going to try to trick us. But I want you to know that the word of God says that, yes, he's there. But God says, I've overcome him. So when it looks like you can't get up, call out on the name of Jesus. That name by which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Don't you let Satan get a stronghold in your life. And if you think you can't do it by yourself, call on the elders and say, I need prayer today. Would you please pray with me so I don't fall down? A woman and her little girl was traveling one day on a steamboat. And the little girl fell overboard, and she was frantic, flapping around. And there was a gentleman on the boat who had this large dog called a Newfoundland dog. And the dog was directed to leap into the water and to save the child. He did so, and he swam ashore with the little girl with her clothes caught in his mouth. As the mother came to her child, she grabbed her little girl, and she hugged her, and she kissed her. And she then turned to the dog, and she grabbed the dog, and she hugged and kissed him too. And the moral of the story is that many of us, when God has delivered us, we don't bother to turn and praise God. We don't say, thank you, God, for what you've done for us. We don't come in with our minds made up that we're going to praise God today. We come in here with one focus. Let's get in and let's get out. Don't you know what can happen between the hours you enter this place and leave this place? That God could rush through here with his anointing power and break some yokes. He can heal some bodies. He can fix some minds, some broken hearts. God is able. He can do anything but fail. That's why I say to you, I still got to praise. I don't care what Satan has done. I don't care what I've been through. I still got to praise. Because God is able. Because God is good. Because he's able to do anything but fail. I have witnessed, I have lived where in an instant a broken heart was mended and it was mine. Sometimes I get too transparent and too personal. But I'm going to say this for somebody in here today.
I remember I was in a relationship and I was just in love with this person. And I may have told this before, I think I did. And I just couldn't get over it. I managed to get to work every day. I was just getting through the day, doing my work just like a machine. I get home and crawl in the bed and cry some more, trying to go over everything in my mind. What did I do? What did I say? What happened? And then one morning I got up and I said, okay, God, this is it. I can't live like this anymore. I need you to fix this and fix it now. I got up, I opened that closet door, and I stood there and I said, God, I need you to fix me right now. I cannot live like this anymore. I reached in there and I got my red power suit and my black patent leather pumps. And I came out and I said, today is my day. And from that day to this day, I have put that behind me and went on to see what else God had for me. So I know he can mend a broken heart. He can fix a mind that's confused. He can do anything but fail. I'm a living testimony. I'm Mary Magdalene. God has delivered me from so much. I don't know how many demons, but I know I've been delivered and set free. And I'm going to praise him until I can't praise him no more. I'm going to tell everybody about a God who can save, who died at Calvary's cross. They stretched him wide and hung him high that I might live. And so I say to you today, if there's anyone here today who have not accepted Jesus as your Lord, you don't have a relationship with him, that if he came walking through your village right now, you wouldn't know who he was.